differently. You can actually see other people that are here. And, you know, our hope is that it kind of gives it more of a family atmosphere. We wanted, Luke and I wanted to put a fireplace up here, have a nice roaring blaze going, but the school district had a problem with that. So, but we really wanted to make this an experience that is good for the whole family, the young ones, and everybody, a time to enjoy, and really just to gather together as a family and really consider and contemplate and think about the wonder of the day. And really have a chance to focus on that and enjoy that time together. So we are going to sing some songs together. We're going to hear the Christmas story together. There are song sheets in your bulletin that you got when you came in. And I think those are only for the choir, right? Okay, the songs on there are for when the choir comes up here. So if you would, though, stand and let's pray. And Luke is going to lead us in an opening song. Father, we do thank you for tonight. We do thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather together. We thank you, of course, most of all for the reason we are here, celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for all that means to us. Father, we look forward to celebrating that together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Luke. Now, before you have a seat, why don't you turn and greet the person next to you, tell them Merry Christmas. Before we start, I just want to mention a couple of things about your bulletin. First of all, inside there, you'll find a card like this. If this is your first time here, or if you visited just a few times before, this card is really for you. This is a contact card. It's a way just for you to tell us, ask us any questions, ask us about this fellowship, ask us any questions that you might have about Christianity in general. You know, don't worry, we're not going to send the church bus by your house next weekend if you fill this out. So it's just a way for us to know what's going on and know if you have any questions, and there's a place where you can put a prayer request, anything like that. So if you want, you can fill that out, and then there's a yellow basket right back there on the chair by the door. You can drop it in there as you go. There's also a visitor pack that's out here at the welcome table. It's just some materials we'd like to put in your hands, again, that tell you a little bit about this fellowship, just a way that we want to bless you and encourage you tonight. We have a lot of refreshments out there. I hope that you'll take advantage of that and hang around at least for a few minutes. I'm sure everybody has a family event they're anxious to get to when this is over, but maybe you'll stop for a few minutes out there and grab some cookies and have a drink. And as I mentioned before, it's a little bit different service than we've had before. We want to make it a little bit interactive, so it's basically okay to answer questions. If I ask a question, you can actually talk in this service. And we want to have the kids involved as well. In fact, if the kids would like to, there's room up there, up here, where they can come up and sit. If they want to stay with mom and dad, that's fine. It's their preference. So the kids feel free to move around if you'd like. And speaking of kids, I actually need some volunteers. I need 7 kids who will volunteer to open some gifts for me. And so I'm thinking, I'm thinking they probably should be around 5 years old, maybe to like 10 or 11. Maybe a little younger if they're my niece. And because here's the deal, kids, with this present opening. And this is why you need to be at least 5, because you don't get to keep the presents you're opening, okay? And I don't want there to be any problems. You're opening presents on behalf of all of us. So if you're willing to accept that assignment, then I need 7 volunteers to come here. So, okay, Josie, come on up. And I see some hand over here. You two, come on up here and in the back there. Come on up here, Manny. Yes. Come on, Joel. Okay, this little guy back here. Here we go. All right, is that 7?
No, that's 6.
Here we go. Here comes 7. All right. Oh, okay. So we have 8. All right, somebody's going to share opening. That's not a problem. Okay, so come down here, you guys, and take one of these. Don't open them yet. You can just sit there on the floor on the floor. So 2 of you have to share, okay? So that's going to go over really good. Joel, would you share with one of the little ones?
Yeah.
How about? Okay, thank you, Joel. Okay. Why don't you, he's going to help you open it, that one, okay? So why don't you scoot your way over to Joel there, and he's going to help you. All right, so you guys just hang tight. What's your name?
Heather.
Heather, Joel here is going to help you when it's time to open these. So go ahead and have a seat here for a minute, guys, because we're going to talk about gifts for just a second, okay? Because what is a gift? Let's have a discussion about gifts before they open these. What is a gift? Somebody give me a definition.
A thing that's wrapped.
A thing that's wrapped. That's pretty good. That's a good start. Anybody else have a definition of a gift? What is it? Yes.
Wrapping presents.
Wrapping presents is a gift. Okay. Go ahead, Dave. Okay, your family is a gift. That's right. There's all kinds of different gifts, isn't it? Basically, a gift is something that someone gives to someone else, isn't it? And a gift can be a thing. It can be a physical thing, a material thing, or a gift can be a gift of time, can it? I mean, you know, kids, right? You can tell your parents, hey, I'm going to clean my room whether I'm asked to or not. That can be a gift, right? Yeah, in an unexpected way. So we can give each other gifts of things. We can give each other gifts of time. We can give each other gifts of tasks or chores. There's all kinds of different ways that we can give gifts. But why do we give gifts? Isn't that an important question to ask? Why do we give gifts? Who wants to offer a suggestion? Why would we give someone a gift? So somebody said love?
Thanks,
gratitude, right? Anybody else? Why do we give gifts? For fun, yeah, definitely. We want to bless somebody, right? We give gifts for the benefit of the person that we're giving it to. Isn't that the purpose? When we put together a gift, we want to somehow encourage that person, or we want to give them something that they need. And there's gifts that are just really kind of purely for our benefit, right? Like the sweater from Aunt Martha. That's nice and all, and we needed a new sweater, and it's great and everything that Aunt Martha gave us this sweater. But there's also gifts that are for our benefit that not only meet a need, but they also do something more for us. They make us happy, right? They bring us joy. And we get excited when we get to give that kind of gift, because we can't wait to see the look on the face of the person that we're giving it to. And maybe some of you are giving that kind of gift this year. You've been planning, you've wrapped it, you've got it all ready, it's waiting there at home, and you're really excited for that moment when you give the gift to that person and they open it, because you can't wait to see the look on their face. Isn't that true? But there's another reason we give gifts, and that is to give honor. I think somebody mentioned that. Or to recognize position. Right? My father, when he was still alive, he received a Lifetime Achievement Award for the industry that he was a part of. And they had a big banquet, and they had a special speaker. And then at a particular time during the evening, they brought him up on stage, and they gave him a gift. Now, it was just, you know, a plaque. It wasn't something he needed. But it really just gave honor to him. It just recognized him and his achievements in that industry and told him they thought he was worthy of that. So all those reasons are reasons that we give gifts. We give them to benefit people. We give them to honor them, to show our love for them and our gratitude towards them. Now, you guys are probably anxious to actually open these gifts, right? Now, remember, what did I say about these gifts? You're opening them for all of us. You don't get to take them home when the night is over. You guys willing to open them based on that understanding? All right, great. All right, go ahead and open these gifts. We don't have a lot of time, actually, Josie, so it's like my sister. She's going to save the wrapping paper. There we go. Thank you, Jessica. Okay. Now, as you open these, hold them up so people can see what it is you're opening. You people might begin to recognize what these gifts are. Right, I think all of you have seen these. These are the pieces from a nativity scene that we're going to set up together and we're going to talk about. Hey, could I borrow this one for a minute, please? Yeah, I'll give it right back to you, okay? These figures, each one is important, aren't they? They're important, first of all. They're important, first of all, because they actually represent real people. There really was a Joseph, wasn't there? And there really was a Mary, and there really was a shepherds and wise men, and all these people actually existed. And so the figures are important, and it's important for us to remember that as we consider the story. Now, kids, what I want you to do is I want you to go back to where you were sitting, and you can hold on to these for a few minutes. I'm going to give you instructions about them in just a second, okay? So go ahead and take them back to wherever it is that you are sitting. But you need to pay attention here in a few minutes, because we're going to ask you to come back up. Now, like I said, all of these figures are important, aren't they? Because they represent actual people. The events that's described by these figures really happened. But they're also important because they are a part of a story. Now, how many of you have heard this story before? Okay, I see some people aren't raising their hands. That's interesting. You've never heard the story that's represented by the nativity. Okay, good. Well, that's great, because you're going to hear it tonight if you haven't heard it before. And, you know, how many of you already know the different parts that the different characters play in the story? Okay, it's a very common story, isn't it, in our culture? It's something that we hear year after year, and we need to be careful a little bit there, because in the repetition of it, it can start to become common, and it can kind of decrease in value in our eyes, and we can kind of push it aside. And we shouldn't do that, because the story itself is part of God's gift to us, isn't it? I mean, by His grace and His mercy and in His sovereignty and through the power of His Holy Spirit, He caused Luke and Matthew to actually investigate and write down the things that happened. And so we have now, here in our language and in our time, we have this story that we all are so familiar with. What a tremendous gift that is to us, and what a privilege we've been given that we can pass the story on to our children, we can pass the story on to people, other people who've never heard of it. So each character is a part of the story, and each part of the story is important. God uses each part of it to teach us something about himself, to teach us something about ourselves, and also to teach us something about how he has miraculously intervened in history. So that's kind of going to form the center of this little service tonight, is we're going to listen to that story. We're going to listen to the Christmas story. And through the gift of this story and through each one of these characters, we're going to understand more completely and maybe appreciate more appropriately. So kids that are holding those figures, here's your assignment. In a little while, we're going to have reading done from the Bible, and the reader is going to announce the name of the character who's featured in that section of the story. And when the reader announces the name of that character that you're holding in your hand, you need to bring them up here, and we're going to place them in the nativity, okay? So maybe the people that are around you can help you if for some reason you don't recognize which character is that you're holding. All right, so I would like to invite Luke and the McNeil Family Singers up here again to lead us in song. You guys have song sheets in your bulletins, and you can follow along. Well, our readers are going to come forward now to read the first few sections of the story. You guys can stay up there. You don't have... Yep. This is just going to take a moment. The younger members of our choir can have a seat if you would like there, maybe in the front row. But if the adults wouldn't mind staying. And as I mentioned to the kids who have those nativity set, listen to the portion that describes a character that you're holding and bring it up here, and Austin maybe will help you get it set up in the right place. I also want to encourage the rest of you to listen very carefully to the story, because I want to ask you a few questions and we want to talk about it as we go along. So, go ahead, readers.
The angel Gabriel. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Luke 1:26.
Okay, who has the angel Gabriel? Ah, here we go. Okay. Come on, go on ahead. Bring it over here. Here you go, buddy. We'll set it up here. Thank you. So as you hear the beginning, when the reader announces the name, go ahead and come on forward.
Mary. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man who was a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have been found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born holy, and he will be called the Son of God."
Joseph. This is how the Messiah, the Jesus, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save their people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message to his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife.
Thank you. So this special man and woman were prepared by God at just the right time. And we know this because God even sent a special messenger, an angel, to announce all of this to Mary and Joseph. And when the angel came to Joseph in a dream, he said something very important. He said that this thing had happened for a reason. Were you listening? Why had this happened?
This is the interactive part of the...
Yes, this would be the interactive part of the evening. Feel free to answer. The angel said specifically, "Joseph, this has happened for a reason." Does anybody remember? I hear somebody saying it. Yeah, to fulfill prophecy, right? The angel said, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. It had all happened as a result of a promise that God had made a long time ago. In fact, hundreds of years before Joseph had this dream, God had inspired one of his chosen prophets, a man named Isaiah, to give this promise to God's people. And just to repeat it, God said through Isaiah, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God had promised his people that in the future something very special would happen, that he himself would come and be with them. Now, tonight is Christmas Eve. And some of us have gifts that we have been anticipating, right? In fact, maybe even right now, sitting under the tree at home, there's a gift that you have been dying to open. And you just can't wait to get your hands on it. And you just keep picture yourself tearing off that wrapping paper and having that gift actually in your hands. And maybe you've been waiting months for this to happen, and it seems like it's been forever. Well, imagine the people of God received this promise, and they waited, and they waited, and then they waited some more. Not just days or weeks or even months or even years, but hundreds of years went by from the time that God gave this promise through the prophet Isaiah till the day that it was fulfilled. Because now, after all that waiting, the time had come. And just think of how exciting that must have been. In a few moments, we're going to hear the reaction of some people who actually heard that news for the first time. And first, though, there's one character, obviously, in this story that we haven't mentioned yet. The most important one of all. Here he is in this particular scene in his mother's arms. So if our reader would read that section, please.
The baby Jesus. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire, and everyone returned to their ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them.
Thank you. Pretty unusual twist to our story, isn't it? God's promise was fulfilled through very unlikely people and in very humble circumstances. Mary's son was born, and we read in another place that Joseph named him Jesus, just as the angel had commanded. God gave us a gift. And we know that because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he what? He gave, right? God gave. His loving character caused him to take action on our behalf. God so loved the world that he gave the ultimate gift, the hope of the world. He gave his only son. The gift of Christmas is a person. The promise is fulfilled through that little baby. It's amazing, isn't it? And Jesus is a very special name because the meaning behind all of what God was accomplishing is captured in the name Jesus, because it literally means Jehovah is salvation. And a lot of us know that that gift is something that we really need, isn't it? It's something that is definitely to our benefit, but it's not like the sweater, because it not only meets a need, in fact, our biggest need, but it is also a gift that can bring us tremendous joy. It's all that is wrapped up in a little baby boy. So, our choir.
Run yon world. Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds keep their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel's chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent our salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Okay, thank you to our choir. Readers, go ahead.
The shepherds. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the glory of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." I'll skip to, "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village, and Mary found Joseph." They each found each other. "And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them."
The wise men. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophets wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with those wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so, that I may worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Thank you. God always seems to do the unexpected, doesn't he? When the time had come to give the gift, how does he do it? Through the announcement of an angel, through a dream, through this simple, humble young couple, through a baby born in very humble circumstances. Now we read in these two sections that the first people to hear about this are a group of shepherds working in the fields and some wise men who see a miraculous sign in the night sky. Both were told that the gift of God had arrived, but both of them had very different experiences. The shepherds were caught by surprise, weren't they? I'm sure this is the last thing they expected to happen. They're out in the fields. They're just doing what they did all the time. They're guarding their flocks and just going to work. Not expecting, not necessarily waiting, and suddenly it's a big surprise. And sometimes the best gifts come that way, don't they? Somebody is plotting and planning and really does a great job of setting it up and working behind the scenes, and then boom, right? The box is unwrapped, or the crowd yells surprise, and you're totally shocked. You had no idea. Well, times that by about a million, and that's what happened to these guys on that first Christmas night. Except at first it wasn't all that wonderful, was it? They were terrified. You know, it's interesting in the Bible, whenever somebody sees an angel, the very first thing the angel says is, "Don't be afraid." It must be really scary to see an angel. The gift of the news of God's gift came to them in a surprise, as a surprise in a completely unexpected way. And when I thought about this, it made me wonder about some of us, because this may be a Christmas that God is catching some of you by surprise. You're doing your normal thing. You're celebrating the holiday. You're listening to the story that you've heard so many times before. And yet this year, there's something different. Before, it was just tradition. But now you kind of have this growing realization that, you know, there's a lot more to this than I thought. Because that's how it was for me. A long-time churchgoer, very familiar with all the Bible stories. But then one day, seemingly out of nowhere, all of it came alive. It's like I realized for the very first time that Jesus came for me, that I personally was a sinner in need of a Savior. It came totally as a surprise. You guys may have heard of author C.S. Lewis. He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, and one of those movies just came out. And he wrote about his own conversion experience. He called it being surprised by joy. And then maybe that's you tonight. Maybe for the first time you're listening to these songs and you're thinking, hey, all the words of these songs are true. This stuff really happened. This is real. If that's what God is doing in your heart, I encourage you to respond how the shepherds did. I don't know if you caught that in the story. Angels are singing, the sky is glowing, and then everything's quiet again. And what did the shepherds do? They say, "Oh man, that was interesting. Okay, so what about these sheep?" That's not what they did at all, did they? They went to find Jesus. They responded in faith. They got up and they said, "Let's go into town and let's see this thing that the angel just told us about." They were totally confident that they were going to find a baby lying in a manger wrapped in cloths. They responded in faith, and they responded with joy. If you were listening, you heard it say that they told everyone the things that the angel had said to them. And they responded with gratitude. It says they left glorifying and praising God. So they were responding in faith. They were responding with joy. These guys were all excited. And they were thankful, glorifying, praising God. Now contrast their experience with the wise men. Were these guys surprised? No, right? They weren't surprised. They were looking for something. They were looking for a particular sign, a star, and they saw it. And they knew when they saw that star, they started their journey. We don't know how far in advance they saw this, what time they actually arrived. Makes for a nice nativity scene to have them here, but it could have been up to 2 years later. But these guys saw that star, and they knew born it was had been the king of the Jews. Because that's what they said when they came to Jerusalem, right? We come to find him who has been born king of the Jews, the son of David. They had been waiting, and when the gift arrived, they were ready. Now, in June next year, this is going to come as a shock, but in June next year, Kathy and I will celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. I know what you're thinking. Well, he looks way too young to be celebrating his 30th anniversary, but it's true. And I've already told her what I'm going to give her. I made reservations at a place that's very special to us, and I told her about it partly so she could get it on her calendar, but I didn't do it mainly to avoid double booking. I also wanted her to enjoy the anticipation of the trip. I wanted her to be able to look forward to it, because that's part of the fun, isn't it? In some ways, the joy will be greater when the day finally arrives because the anticipation we had leading up to it. And like I said, we don't know exactly when these guys saw this star, but when they did, they started their journey. And they knew, like I said, who they were looking for. They were looking for the son of David. They were looking for the one born king of the Jews. They had been waiting. They had been watching. And when the truth was revealed, they responded. And think about that, waiting and watching. It describes like a spiritual yearning, looking and desiring, hoping for something real. That could be the description of your heart. I mean, think about how the star traveled ahead of them, just out of reach, until it stopped over the place where Jesus was. And when it stopped, their journey was over. And they were, did you hear the description of the attitude of their hearts when the star stopped and they realized their journey was over? It said they were filled with joy. Jesus was the end of their journey. And a lot of us know Jesus is the end of our journey too. That's the gift. He's the gift we've been wanting and anticipating, looking for, waiting for. And the heart of the wise men is revealed by their response when they actually come face to face with the baby Jesus, isn't it? What did they do? They gave him gifts. Somebody else said they bowed down, right? They worshiped him. They acknowledged him. That's that kind of second kind of gift we talked about. They gave him honor. They recognized him. He's the Savior. He's the King. They worshiped him, bowed down to him. Well, we're going to sing one last song in just a moment, so I'd like to invite Luke to come back up here and lead us. But before we sing together, I just want to share a few final thoughts. Because like when we started off, like I mentioned, for most of us, this is a very familiar story, isn't it? An angel, young mother and her husband, shepherds, wise men, and all of this surrounding little baby Jesus. It's all so familiar to us. But I hope that it can still fill us with wonder. God so loved the world. Familiar verse, right? It's on the bottom of every cup at In-N-Out. God so loved the world. But say that verse, let's say that verse, that part of that verse together out loud. And instead of saying the world, substitute that phrase with your own name. Okay? Let's do that together. For God so loved Rob. It's different, huh? God so loved us that he what? That he gave. He gave the gift of his son. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, our theme for this service is receiving the gift. And that's what the Bible means when it says, whoever believes in him. Biblically, believing is receiving. It's hearing the message and then responding in faith. And the Bible describes it this way. The Bible says that first of all, when we come to God in faith, it means we're acknowledging that we are who God says we are. Like I said, when it happened for me, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. God created us. He created us in his own image, created us for relationship with him, put in our conscience and knowledge of his law. But all of us, by deliberate choice, have turned away from God and said, I'm going to rebel against what I know, God, that you want me to do. You're my creator. You're my king. But I'm going to go my own way. We all do that by deliberate choice. And the Bible says that the first step in coming to faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging that that's true. That's who we are. We're sinners who are in need of a Savior. And the Bible says that we need to repent of that attitude, that rebellious attitude of turning away from God. And we need to say, God, I no longer want to follow my own way, but instead in faith and trust and belief, I want to put my faith in you and what you say in your word and your direction. I want to turn away from going my own way, and I want to turn towards you. That's what the Bible means when it talks about repentance. We acknowledge who we are. We say, Lord, I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to turn away from that. And then we believe what the Bible says about what Jesus has done for us. He lived a perfect life in our place. He never sinned. He followed God's law. And then he died a substitutionary death for us. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Each one of us has sinned. Each one of us deserved to have our blood shed. But the Lord Jesus on that cross shed his blood as our substitute. He lived the life we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserve. We need to believe that. And then the Bible says that we need to receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation that God offers to us. So that's how we come to God in faith. That's how we receive that gift, acknowledging who we are, repenting of our sin, placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and saying, Lord Jesus, I want to receive the gift of forgiveness. The Bible says that to all who believed him, to all who received him, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. That's how we receive God's gift that he has for us on this Christmas. So let me pray for us, and Luke will lead us in song, and then just a few more words and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for giving us this story, for causing these men to write it down and giving it to us in our language, giving us these traditions that we can remember the story. And Father, thank you so much for giving us the gift of your Son, that he grew to be a man. He lived that perfect sinless life. He died a criminal's death on our behalf. Was resurrected again the third day, proving that he had victory over sin and death and the grave. And so, Father, I want to pray for anyone here who comes to this Christmas without a relationship with you, and having never received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I want to pray for them right now that you would cause this truth to come alive in their own hearts, cause them to turn towards you in repentance and faith and receive the gift of forgiveness you offer to them right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.